welcome to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedrus Hart.
Hello.
Hey.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. I think both of us were sort of just like yawning a little bit on our way in here. It's been kind of a sleepy day, for me at least.
It is. And usually the rainy days are the ones that are like that. It is sunny and beautiful.
I know.
It is so hot outside. I think when I was coming back from my lunch break, the car was reading 95, 96.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's honestly, it could be worse.
Could be.
Because it has been worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week it was worse.
But it's pretty hot, definitely.
Yeah, it's bad when you're like, I wish it was 85 degrees. But, you know, I think, you know, we got good air conditioning here. Let's just focus on the good in here.
Yeah.
And like, you really only have to be in the heat getting into the car and getting back into the house.
Right. Now, here's a debate that me and my wife have.
Okay.
Rolling down the car windows on a hot summer day, does that make a difference when you get back into the car? Does it cool down the car at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would like to do an experiment
because I roll down the windows down.
So you leave them rolled down?
No, just a crack, just to let some air flow through. You know,
I don't trust people in this town.
I'm too trusting then, I guess.
I don't. and I grew up like out in the country. Like half the time my parents would leave the vehicles unlocked.
Doors are unlocked.
And I wouldn't. I'm like, these people that live over here, I've known them my entire life. I grew up with their kids.
Yep.
My parents grew up with the adults over here. Uh-huh. I knew all of them. None of them would ever break into my car.
Yeah.
But you won't catch me like. You won't catch me slacking. it ain't gonna be because I left the car unlocked.
Yeah.
So
it is a risk on rainy days, but I think it's worth it. But anyway, moving on, we do have a guest in studio with us.
If you can count him as a guest, I think he's just a part of the show now.
A recurring co-host, if you will. Chris Woodward from our news department is here to tell us what's going on in the world and what we need to be praying for.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that this recent weather that we've had, the heat and the rain, makes me wonder what life would be like had Jamestown been founded in Hawaii. Because I sometimes, like, the first time traveler is going to go back and be like, hey, James, let me show you Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a little further.
I'm convinced,
Because here it's not just hot, it's mugging.
Yes.
And it makes breathing a challenge sometimes.
Pilgrims would be like, man, we could escape religious persecution if we just went to Fiji.
Yeah.
I mean,
it would have been different.
We'd all 100%. We'd all be like barefoot wearing board shorts and, you know, like fishing with a spear. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Well, if you want to know more about Chris and what the guys in our news department have, go to American Family News, AFN.net. And you can go to AFA.net to find all the other things that we do around here. Mm-hmm. But if you want a good news source, go to AFN.net. They cover so much. I mean, like, relatively, like, everything that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. So, and not only do you have, if you listen to the radio, I know you're used to hearing the news updates at the top of every hour. That's only scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah.
They're posting online constantly throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then there are regular video news updates that also go up.
Yes. Well, you know, this has been a really busy week /2-week period for us news-wise. And I'll bring in a couple of things for a show where we have long tried to encourage people to share truth and apply scripture. Let's begin with the viral video seen around the world a quadrillion times, where the man and woman who may or may not have been married to other people were snuggling with one another at a Coldplay concert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've not laughed at some of the fun that people have had with memes as a result of these two. For example, there was one, like, there's long been an opinion by a lot of non-Kansas City Chiefs fans that the NFL is conspiring on behalf of the Chiefs to help them be the next big thing. And so, as a result, there was like a meme of Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, in a loving embrace with an NFL referee. So he was the man, she was the woman, that kind of thing, in that thing. And there have been some other funny takes where you've had, like, Burger King and Ronald McDonald side hug and stuff like that. We talked to – the reason I bring this up is because Steve Jordahl had a story for us several days ago that featured Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, and he talked about how we have reached a sad place in society when we see these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And again, we're assuming – that these two people were married to other individuals and they were there together doing things they
shouldn't.
Well,
if you looked into it, the internet found the spouses and the families pretty quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Alex made the very good and valid point that we've reached a low point in society when we see these kinds of things and we just laugh at sin.
Yeah. That's true.
And this
particular thing, like sexual sin, adultery is obviously not a new thing.
Yeah.
But there was a time when there was at least shame attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there are two families that are being torn apart by these people's decisions. Mm-hmm. And there's there are other parents that are having to explain to their kids, you know, because it's on the internet.
Yeah.
And most people, even people's kids, are on the internet now.
Right.
I'm sure as viral as this went, they've probably seen some of the videos. And these parents are, at least the other parent is trying to kind of navigate that while their family is breaking apart.
Yeah.
And the internet is just having a heyday. And it's making light of a very serious sin.
Yeah. And it also... Like you were just bringing up the family, and the families did not ask for this exposure. They did not ask for this shame to be attached to them. They're the ridicule of the world, sadly. And I think that on top of, you know, we've reached this point as a society where we see a sin and it becomes joke to us. It's an opportunity where we tend to dehumanize people and we make the person into a joke and we make their family like what's going on behind the scenes. And we have all this speculation and all of a sudden these people become entertainment for us rather than, you know, what our first response should be is like, wow, like, first of all, examine myself, you know, like this is a call to be aware of sin, but also maybe to pray for these people instead of, you know, reposting. Now I understand, you know, humor is a gray area sometimes, and of course some things are genuinely funny and you laugh at them, but at the heart of the issue there are two people who were in an adulterous relationship. Maybe there were people around them who were condoning it, and there were two families who were torn apart, and that we need to take that seriously if we consider ourselves pro-family in any sort of way.
Right.
That should have some weight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
American Family Association put out some information on social media sharing much of what Alex had to say, or very similar to what he had to say. So that information is still out there on both AFA.net, AFR.net, AFN.net, all the .nets that we're involved with, of which there are many. So that was one big story. Another one has been, we are about 3 to 4 weeks away from, or if 3 or 4 weeks after that horrific flooding in Texas, where even Christian campers are still missing. Many of them are dead, have been confirmed dead here. And that's been a terrible situation for a number of fronts. We need to continue praying for those families, because that's not something you ever get of, you ever really move on from. Mm-hmm. You just learn how to deal with. So there are a lot of families in Texas and other places that had kids or loved ones in this area that are, again, are still missing or were confirmed dead from the flooding. So we need to be in prayer for those people, because the news media has, like it does oftentimes, you get distracted on some other things, and maybe you meant to, but you forgot to, or you just didn't have the time to include stories on things like the flooding. It is still an issue, even if you don't see it on television, read it in a newspaper, or find it on our website.
Things
do continue to happen, and our friends at 8 Days of Hope are on the ground there. They actually have been, for the first time in their 20-year history, been involved with helping recover the dead.
Oh, my goodness.
So we do need to be in prayer for our brother in Christ, Steve Tiber, and others that for the first time are dealing with these kinds of things, much like Samaritan's Purse is helping do in those kinds of situations. Again, it's an opportunity to be in prayer for somebody, but to also just love on them with your time and attention.
Yeah. And if you want a way that you can physically get involved, I recommend you look up to, like, 8 Days of Hope. If you go to 8 Days of Hope, completely spelled out, 8daysofhope.com, and you could probably just Google 8 Days of Hope and it'll pop up. And they're not the only ones that do this sort of thing. So if they're not the ones you want to attach yourself to, that's fine. But they're a good source for you to be able to get involved, whether that be through physically joining the volunteers and going, or through donation, because I know that there are times when you're like, can I trust this ministry? Can I trust that this money is going to what it should? Yes, because with 8 Days of Hope, there's not people getting rich off of it. The funds are going where they need to be going, and people are being helped. Their homes are being rebuilt and stuff. And like you said earlier, you were talking about, this is the first time that they have been involved in recovering the deceased. Mm-hmm. Let's be in prayer for them.
Yeah.
Because that is hard, and that doesn't just, like, it's something, especially if it's not something you're used to, like, it's hard. It's something that stays with you, and I can't imagine and pray for the families that are still missing.
Yeah. And I think, to your point of, you know, we tend to get distracted at whatever the big headline of the day is, and maybe this is somewhat faded into the background. But we do need to remember that just because a news story is not national, you know, headlining news, doesn't mean that it's gone away. And like you said, Cedra, like, this is a hard thing to do for a lot of people having to deal with this devastation and death for the first time, and maybe even asking the question, why would God not stop this from happening? And some really, really soul crushing things happening here. This really bears a lot of needs to have a lot of our attention in our prayers. I think particularly because people are coming face to face with the reality of death and the question of, you know, eternal life. Maybe more so in that regard than in other news stories. So if anything, I would say put something on your refrigerator or a note on your mirror or something to remember that particular story, because that's not going to go away anytime soon. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and I would like to point out that we're not that far removed from COVID and what it did to things like Christian camps. A number of camps just completely closed down you know, they were shut down, haven't even reopened, just based on the fact that due to state and local restrictions, they might not have had or been able to have people in close proximity to one another. So camps that survived that are now, you know, there's going to be some parents that are going to be reluctant to have their child go to a camp.
Yeah.
And this is going to be on the backs of many people's minds. I mean, I know, like, I wouldn't describe myself as a helicopter parent, but I am usually, you know, I'm aware of where my children are. I like to stay in touch with them. I like to talk with them or whatever. I don't like when they don't have their phone with them, all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so this is a way for the devil to use, you know, to get in the mind of mom or dad next year and go, you know, hey, you shouldn't send your kid to camp. All these fears and doubts and things like that. So a terrible, terrible situation that, again, we should pray for. You know, Jordan mentioned death a minute ago. This is a creepy topic, I know, and I'm sorry. But I bring it up because it's an opportunity for us pastors, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, people in small groups, one another, to discuss things.
Yeah.
The issue of assisted suicide is in the news for several reasons. Earlier this week, it was announced that the U.S. fertility rate is nowhere near what it needs to be. In other words, we're not having as many babies as we should. And people aren't having children for a number of reasons. That is something I think pastors and other people should delve into and really talk about what it is that God envisions for us. And, you know, so people across various countries are having fewer children. Meanwhile, people are living longer. That means we have fewer young people working and paying into a system that's taking care of a growing number of retirees.
Yeah.
And that's caused a lot of people to go, well, about 20 countries and 11 U.S. states already allow for assisted suicide in certain reasons. Maybe we should expand that and have the uncomfortable conversation. So I followed up with various pro-life people, including Michael New, who works for Catholic University of America and Charlotte Lozier Institute, to talk about these things. And he's like, look, you know, we're pro-life from conception to natural death. It's not right to talk with somebody and participate in the end of their life. It's an opportunity for us to really be out there and to engage with people and tell them this is not the solution.
Yeah.
We can find other ways.
Yeah.
Well, let's just need to take your life into your own hands situation. You know, there's no fully giving yourself to God. Even people in the Christian community have trouble with that and letting God decide your fate. But I also, on the other side of that, have a lot of sympathy, because I know that there's people who are going through such horrible health situations, and they're and I see them. They're in pain, and it, so it's hard to sit there and watch them be in pain.
Yeah,
and you kind of understand why they would choose that option.
Yeah,
but it, as believers, it is your job to walk with them.
Yeah,
and pray for them and encourage them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Instead of them leading them to death,
in that direction. Yeah, and absolutely. I think this is definitely a symptom of a society and a culture that just does not recognize human dignity. I think because you get to this point where, yes, there is a problem. Like you just said, like people are having fewer children for any number of reasons. And my opinion is that's their personal, that's between them and God. You know, we're not going to pass a law that says you have to have more kids. That would be horrible. But at the same time, you do have this growing number of elderly people who do need help. And if anybody's had any experience with nursing homes and that the system of that the state and communities have in place for taking care of these people, oftentimes it is subpar, and that's not their fault. They're doing their best. So there is a problem. The issue here is that this is the wrong solution. You know, the wrong solution, and it's the solution they're coming up with because they don't value human life. It's just numbers to them, and they're just doing the math. And so what the Christian perspective brings to this is we need to recognize human dignity because humans are made in the image of God, and that's not something that we just throw away. That's not something that we just do the math on, and we'd be like, oh, well, we're in the, you know, we're in the red. We need to, you know, cut the numbers here. We don't need to be coming at it from that perspective. First of all, prayer, I think, is key here. Praying for wisdom for people who are making these decisions, because this isn't going to be down to me. I can cast my vote for someone, but it will be up to that person to use their wisdom to come up with the solution. So I think prayer for the people in leadership here, but also doing what we can to just in our own sphere of influence demonstrate what that means to uphold human dignity just in the little things of life, how you treat each other, how you treat children, how you treat the elderly, and how you lead your own community. It's this is a very complicated issue.
Yeah. Also very uncomfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
So I if you're uncomfortable listening to it, I take no pleasure in talking about it. But again, it's an issue that we're having to deal with and even reporting on today.
Yeah, it's happening, and we've always encouraged the Christian community to be aware of the things happening in the news and and around them, and not just bury your head in the sand. There's a lot of Christians who believe that we're supposed to, like, the we're in the end times or whatever. We're supposed to
circle the wagons.
You're supposed to just sit and wait for Jesus to come, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely not.
So we believe you're supposed to be not only aware, but participating in the things going on, like in, like whether it be against or for, you know, like you see something wrong, you stand up against it. Right. If you see something right, you support it.
Yeah.
And so that that is our job as believers.
Kirk Cameron has told us a couple of times now for unrelated topics that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's pretty close to what I'm about to share. Kirk has told us before something like, too many Christians are sitting around on their couch eating their Chick-fil-A waiting for Jesus to return, when we should be out there actually preparing people for the Lord's return.
Right, exactly. And I think that that is a temptation, is because I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of fear in the church and people wanting to kind of isolate and draw back from all the scary stuff that's happening in the world because, you know, and then clinging to, well, you know, then it's the end time, so I have this excuse, you know, I have to bunker down, I have to get ready for the hardships. And that's not the attitude. If you look at the early church, they fully believed that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. And how were they acting? Were they bunkering down? Absolutely not. Yeah. The gospel was spreading like wildfire. They were standing up against, in some cases, greater evils than we will ever see. Like greater, grosser national sins. You know, strapping people to poles and lighting them on fire to light up a, you know, the government's garden party. Like, that's something that we're probably, Lord willing, hopefully never going to see in our lifetime. And they didn't let that scare them into a corner and hide. We need to take on that, you know, the church of the book of Acts and the early church attitude, and being armed with the gospel, you go into a dark world, and God will work through that. And we don't need to really be concerned. We don't need to be, you know, too concerned with, you know, when is Jesus coming back? He's coming back. He's promised that. In the meantime, we're carrying out the Great Commission.
Yeah, you should be so focused on Jesus and the work he has for you
that
you're in the middle of telling someone about the Lord and he just yanks you.
Yeah, he's going to have to interrupt your work to rapture you.
Yeah.
I do have a theory, though. When he returns, instead of looking up, people are going to be watching it on their phones.
Yeah, you know what? Probably.
Yeah, we're already kind of glued. I mean, I have to have a phone to get in my computer. I mean,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I always have to have my phone on me. So there is that. Mm-hmm. And with 6 minutes or so left in the show, we have college classes resuming or starting here in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a wonderful opportunity for youth pastors, college student ministries, whatnot, at churches across the nation to engage with students, go on campuses, or support your local BSUs and Wesley Student Unions and all these other things, all these Christian entities on public campuses trying to reach people for Christ. Now is a good time to do it, obviously. Time is running out, whether it's tomorrow or decades from now.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there have been stories, and we've talked about this before on the show, about how young people are interested in the Bible. They want to know more about the Bible. Maybe it's because of TV shows like The Chosen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People are interested in the Bible, and you need to help them along and really kind of tell them what the Bible says, what the Lord has in mind for all of us. This is a wonderful mission opportunity for, again, churches near schools, but also people with maybe children going to college for the first time or whatever. Just find a Christian campus ministry on campus and encourage them and even check in on them to make sure that they're actually participating. I was in one when I was in both junior college and four-year college. It is a wonderful opportunity, and I highly recommend it for anybody in college today.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed my, you know, like I've told you guys on here before, I didn't complete school because I left because I didn't know what I was doing or why I was there, and I thought I'd go back, but I didn't. But while I was there, I did participate in my BSU, and I really enjoyed my time there, and they need people.
Yes.
Go in there and get involved. But I've had the opportunity over the years to work with like church camps and stuff like that in the summer and like teach some young impressionable girls, and I'm like, all right, y'all enjoyed your summer, and here at this camp you've seemed really fired up for Jesus, and that's awesome. I was like, but you're about to go back to school and things are about to get real, and you're going to be faced with all your friends and your peers at school, and like, who are you going to be when you get there? Are you going to be this person that I'm seeing here, or are you going to flip a switch and become who you were?
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess, something, if you're listening and you're in the ones about to go back to school, something to think about.
Yeah. And for a lot of these kids, too, coming from a Christian household, this may be the first time, you know, that they're really in. I mean, depending on what other school they've attended, this may be the first time they've been in a situation where they'll be challenged really strongly. Their beliefs will be challenged by other people who have differing worldviews and ideas. And organizations like BSU and others are, I think, essential for a Christian going into the situation, because as iron sharpens iron, you do need to have that accountability with other Christians. And finding those other Christians in these areas, I think, is kind of a must. Going in there completely alone, yes, the Lord has you, and he can guide you through temptation. He can strengthen your faith and use this as an opportunity to grow. But I think by God's grace, many schools have these organizations, many schools have these groups of Christians that do come together. And joining one of those, I think, is really, really good.
And if they don't, maybe that's your cue
exactly.
to start something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and it's also an opportunity for a Christian college that might be kind of thinking about, okay, we've got some money socked to the side. What are some things we should do? I heard a guy years ago say, in a church service I was attending, he said, we shouldn't just be training up pastors and pastors' wives.
Mm.
He said, when I go in for my knee surgery, I want to know that my doctor read his Bible that morning.
Mm.
Now, I know not every Christian college out there can expand greatly and offer all kinds of resources or whatnot. But, you know, maybe Christian colleges that can should start thinking about secular fields or, you know, something that they can do beyond music education.
Yeah.
Not that there is anything wrong with that.
There's not,
said the son of a choir director.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's things that Christian colleges could be doing. There are some that already do offer a lot of programs. But even then, there's an opportunity for a Christian on a public college campus somewhere to reach people for Jesus.
Absolutely.
And one of the big things I think you should do is arm yourself. Start really putting yourself into scripture memory if you haven't before. That is so important. Like, pick one passage and start working on memorizing things. You can start in at the basic places if you haven't, you know, what the scriptures that most people have learned over the years and know, and start just really drilling those in, because they will come to you in your moment. I'm telling you, they'll come to you in your moment of need. So when you're facing off with somebody at school who wants to challenge your beliefs, you know, those
be ready with an answer.
You'll have an answer for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, that kind of brings us to the last half minute of the show. I want to say thank you to Chris for being on with us again. It's always a pleasure bringing really perspective to a lot of the stuff that's happening in the world that some people might not be aware of. So, again, thank you so much for being on. You can go check out Chris's work at AFN.net. They cover everything that's going on in our culture and beyond from a Christian worldview perspective. So that is a good resource for Christians out there who are wanting to apply scripture to what's going on in the world. So go visit that. And guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.